Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
You've heard that we are doing a series, and third week, as Pastor Charlie mentioned, we'll talk about spiritual health, and it's good to have some experts in spiritual health to talk on that. Next week, we have a counselor, Christian clinical counselor, who will be coming to talk about the mental health and emotional health. And for today, you know that I'm not qualified for it. Yes, I can read your mind already. What do I know about health? But I invited a very special guest, and I'm going to introduce you, who's going to come and talk to us about physical health. And let me introduce you to Mr. Body Expert. Well, thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to come and speak on health. And I'm here to tell you that if you do this, you're going to get a body like this, a big breakthrough. You eat some coconut flesh or coconut bread, you know, for breakfast, for lunch and for dinner. And then you drink 2 liters of coconut milk or coconut water a day, at least 2 liters. And make sure you get the coconut oil and you rub it around your body. If you do that after shower each day, you're more likely to get to that goal. And then lastly, make sure you climb the coconut tree if you have a chance. Go and climb once or twice. You do all of that, you're going to have a breakthrough. You're going to have a body like that, and you're going to get through. Thank you so much, and goodbye. I am just not sure if I'm going to have him back. Because I did all of that. And look. Look what I ended up. And maybe that is a good reason for me to be able to talk about this. So if you find me saying a lot of confession today, then you know where I'm coming from. You know, besides being a pastor, I have a few other ministry hobbies, if you like, and this is one of them. It's a part-time researcher. I'm doing some ministry inquiry into the role of health in faith through Melbourne University, looking at the possibility of the public health system willing to engage more with the faith community to collaborate to strengthen the work of caring for the vulnerable people in our community. And I am one of them. So that's my area of interest, my hobby that I do outside of here. Last year, I collected 30 faith leaders from around here, from different, about 13, 14 denominations, quite broad, multicultural, ethnic, as well as multicultural churches, and 4 theologians. And I asked that question right on top and part of our group discussion, about 7 group discussions. What do you think of when you think of health? What goes through your mind? And I want to just show you a snapshot. I'm not going to go through into greater detail, a snapshot of the finding, because after that analysis, we put the results into 3 categories, but it outlines 3 sort of perspectives of what they think health is. The first is individual and humanistic. Those who believe, look at health, they view health as something that is really about my body, my physical body, anything around it, with sickness or food or whatever it is, it's my body, and it is my body. It's my physical body. I do whatever I like with it, but it's part of my human being. I look after it. And then the second group is see health from a holistic and communal. Holistic means that we are made up of 3 components. It's the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. Okay, the physical, we go to the doctor. We go to the specialist. They look after the physical. And then the mental or emotional healing, we go to the allied health, the psychologist and psychiatrist. And then the spiritual, that's our thing. We do that. We look out of it so well, and it's perfectly correct. And then, but it is a part of a community. We exist in a community, and you and I know we don't just exist in a church. We live in a society. We go to the doctor. We go and see our physicians. We do all of that. So they see holistically that we are part of a community, broader community in which we live. And then the third group, see it as a more holistic, meaning it's, you know, the body, the mind, and soul. It's a whole person, but it's from a scriptural point of view. The Bible teaches, and that's where we need to engage and understand health. It's a God initiative, and the biblical culture, the scripture, is speak into health. So anything around health, it's associated. So they strongly, they see, they preach on it, they run. Anything health is part of their doctrinal statement. Now, put it aside for a moment, because that's just a result, an information, and I draw my own conclusion, but I'm not going to disclose that today. But I must say, though, whatever you put in that data, it's not going anywhere. I can reassure you, it's not a research data. But if you're interested, as I'm running later in the year, looking at the role, the understanding, perspective of members, please let me know, and I'll make sure you're a part of that. You can help me, too, in that second phase of my research. Anyway, put that aside, because we're here to talk about an important series. And it's significant enough to be able to understand that our role is so important for us to grasp. Today we begin that series, and we're looking at the physical, mental, and spiritual. And our aim throughout the series is to address the importance of healthy living and also explore why it is crucial from a Christian perspective. So have you ever considered the body, your body, whatever it looks like, a temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever seriously considered how important that is? That is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Does that sound a little far-fetched? It isn't, because Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, he goes on to say, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Whew. You're not on your own. You were bought at a price, and in fact, it's a high price. Therefore, honor God with your what? Bodies. This verse serves as a foundation of our message today, because it's often easy to forget that our bodies are not ours. In our group discussion, one of the leaders shared about an experience just a Sunday previously before she came to the group, and I named her Mary. Mary shared how they sitting down to have a big feast. If you're Tongan, you know what I'm talking about, a feast. And across sitting the other side is this other lady, I call her Martha. You can see it's nice to remember Mary and Martha, but don't bring that story, because it's nothing to do with this. And when the prayer finished, Martha reached out, because there are many, many food, there's stacks, and there's a nice pick on the spit. And Martha reached out to the neck, test, and grab it with the knife. And then that's the most beautiful, juicy, and fatty part that everybody want to grab in the little pick and spit in a feast. And then Mary saw it, and she kind of whispered, said, Martha, what are you doing? You're on dialysis. You're a diabetic too. And you've got high blood pressure, hypertension. What are you doing? And then Martha looked with, I don't know, it's a guilt or satisfying look. And she said, I've got my needles in my back. My insulin, if the sugar goes up, bang, and I'll be fine. That was Martha. And I'm speaking of Tongan people, so I'm safe. I'm Tongan. It's my life, my health, my body, and my choice. The scripture went on to say, the same scripture, but the Message translation put it this way, didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price? The physical part of you is not some piece of property of the Spirit that is only attached. The Spirit is a big thing, and the body is a small little tiny bit. It's far from that. It's God owns the what? The whole, everything of you, including the body. So do let people see God in and through your body. So we can easily forget that our bodies are not truly ours. From the food that we consume to the activities we participate in and the lifestyle that we live, we sometimes neglect the physical body as a significant aspect of our beings. However, according to Paul, he goes on further to say that our bodies are more than just a vessel for our souls. He says it is a sanctuary, the temple, it's a house. But the Spirit of God lives. We are responsible for maintaining and caring for them. And the idea of our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit is that God himself dwells within us. It comes upon a realization that it's really inspiring us and it's humble us. It's humbling because it inspires us to strive for purity, for holiness, and for health, and for strive for the best of who we are for God. But it also humbles us to remember that we were paid at a very high price when Jesus died on a cross. When we view our bodies through this lens, it becomes clear that taking care of our physical health isn't just about good looking, like Mr. Expert, and it's more than just living longer. Paul goes deeper to say that taking good care of our bodies is an act of worship. What? It's an act of worship. It's more than I thought, this singing song and then make an offering. When it comes to the body, we just pay the money, do this. But Paul say it's an act of worship. Honor your God with your body. Then he went further to say in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, to, in view of God's mercy, to offer your what? Bodies. Is a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true, pure worship. Taking good care of your body is a way of honoring God, showing gratitude for the life that he gave us, acknowledging the Holy Spirit within us. You know, many, and I can only speak of my culture and my tradition that I know so well, are never properly informed, well informed, about the importance of our health as the Bible teaches. As God desire. Never. Well, they're being informed when they're in the hospital, lying in bed, and oh, it is bad. It is bad. In a group discussion, many of the leaders say that the culture and tradition and things we used to do are barriers to change and obstacle to promoting health as a way of honoring. Yet obesity and heart diseases are on the rise, and people are not able to function better, and the burden are on the families, and the church remains silent. They don't even care. It is hard. It might offend some people if you tell them to just cut down the food when we come together. And maybe some people, their pride might go away thinking that if we don't do enough, then I feel a bit of shame. Or perhaps I'm not sacrificed enough to God if I don't fill the table with so much. Those who see health as holistic, as scriptural, they argue that there is no other culture. There's only one culture, it's the biblical culture. Anything else, it is secondary. And I think we understand where that comes from. Here's the point. The key to understanding this biblical mandate lies not in guilt, but in love. Because our loving God has granted us this complex and yet beautiful thing as part of his creation, the house of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful bodies to navigate our experience and our earthly experience and our calling and our mission. So when we are care for them, it's not out of fear or shame, but it's done out of love for who? For the one who loved us and created us. So if that is all you get today and you go home from here, you got the message. The question is, how can we apply that simple, little theology of health into our lives so that we become more practical about caring for the body as an act of worship? I want to say, as a researcher and anyone who's done research, any breakthrough in research, in the field of research, is about exploring a new knowledge or some kind of solution to an ongoing problem, then you've done your research well. The breakthrough that we are going through in this series here, it's not about exploring new ways. It's about relearning what we already know in a scripture, but perhaps we pay little attention to or just completely ignore it. That's what we're doing. And so we're going to be, the breakthrough that we're talking about is looking at the things that impacting the body and affecting its potential, its ability to honor God, let alone its ability to work, to care for himself, for his family, and so on. Because the things, we're looking at the things that are perhaps avoidable if only we choose to make right decision and better option in life. What are we breaking away? Any breakthrough, we actually breaking away from something to experience what we're aiming for. What are we breaking away so that we can make a breakthrough? I believe as followers of Christ, we need to pay attention to our physical health for three reasons. Bear with me. The first is that our health is a matter of stewardship. You know, first of all, to be hopeful for a breakthrough in our health is to deal with the false belief that our bodies are ours. You know the photos you saw before? It's beautiful, it's lovely, but imagine if all I build that body is to impress others. Well, it did impress my wife when she saw me walk at the beach. She stuck with me for 34 years, even though the body has changed dramatically. But it worked. But if the intention is to impress, if it is to self-satisfaction, satisfy yourself, then we are missing the point. Because if it is not about glorifying and honoring God, what we do with our body, then we are missing the point. So we get to a point where we start satisfying ourselves and we're building we're motivated. To a point where we start to turn that into a habit, and I call it a bad habit. So the reason why it's bad, because you know the motivation is to impress others or satisfy self. You know it's wrong, but you go and do it anyway. Am I the only one that do that? You think it's bad, but it's nice. You just keep going. Continuing to do the wrong things become normal until you start to experience the effect and consequences and you wonder, what did I choose? Why did I do that? You approach life with the kind of mentality and attitude I call the MIM. It means Martha intervention mindset. I will keep doing it until I can't get up anymore and the doctor say, you only got 5 days left. And doctor, can you help me? You know, we keep going to a point that we'll just keep having, we have an intervention mentality that I'll do it, and when I'm in trouble, then my family, and then my community, and my doctor, and then my needles, I start looking for my intervention. But I still make the choices. Instead, you know, I keep going until I fall off the cliff and I call out, Lord, where are you? Instead of we could have avoided getting there by approaching your health using the MPC. Don't worry about those sort of terminology. I call it the Mary preventative care approach. Now, Mary said, Martha, just don't go there. Just don't go there. So we need to start by admitting that often we automatically operate under the MIM, the Martha intervention mentality, a system where we exercise an out of a control authority and power, the freedom to choose to take ownership of our life, including our body. That's the humanistic individual approach. And for us to start thinking about any breakthrough, we start by turning ownership to stewardship. You know, the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You are bought at a very high price, therefore, honor God with your bodies. Here's the idea. Don't take health for granted, but do our part, according to the Bible, to maintain it. But how do we maintain it? Well, by practicing preventative care. We're not only taking steps to secure our health, but also showing our respect and gratitude for the life that God has given us. Preventative care reflects wisdom, wise choice. Proverbs 27:2, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Very gentle way of putting it. The wise will turn away from things, you know, it's not good for the body. But the unwise will keep going and pay for the consequences. Preventive care is a tangible way of applying the biblical wisdom. But remember what I said earlier on, if we approach it with love and respect, it's tough, but it's worth doing it. That we come to recognize that our bodies are a gift from God, and we are responsible to look after that gift. You know, let's embrace the calling to be stewards of creation is our call. Let's strive to honor God for healthy living, caring for our bodies with the same kind of dedication and reverence that we give in our worship when we do on a Sunday morning or wherever we worship, the same reverence. The second thing is, our health is a matter of discipline. So once we got the first one, we know that it's for God, then how do we maintain and keep it so that it doesn't fall back? And then we're going back to the same thing and start again. Taking care of our bodies is important for Christians, but the matter of stewardship, but also a matter of discipline. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Hebrews 12:11, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have trained by it. Discipline will take us somewhere. Discipline is hard. You know, I can refer back to Mary and Martha's scenario, the relationship of food and body and the choices involved. You know what seems funny is they seem to be, first of all, a silent language. And if you can't just use food, remember this is all about, we're not here a nutrition, I'm not a nutritionist, talk about food. But there seems to be a silent conversation that is happening. When we think of the food, when we see the food don't think of us, isn't it? When we look at the food is not just staring at us, but it's not looking at us. When we smell the food don't do anything. When we taste the food and the food like it, when we decide on the food we eat, then the food is very happy. And they just want to come in and give you what you want, what you desire, anything more to satisfy. You can turn from the idolatry of food. You know, food itself is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful gift from God. We all agree. It's nourishment, catalyst for fellowship, and even an avenue for to enjoy God's creativity. However, problems arise when food takes a position in our hearts that it should never occupy. When we find our comfort and our identity of control in food rather than God, or when our eating habits become detrimental to our health, we veer towards an idolatry kind of thing. To dedicate to a balance and maintain is the key to achieving freedom. Philippians call us to live with moderation. He says, let everybody see that you are considerate in all you do. I love that. Considerate. Recognize that our ultimate satisfaction comes from God alone, not earthly pleasure. As we seek to honor God with our bodies, one practical step we can take is to evaluate our relationship with food and body and even our relationship in fatality. We mess up the body. Healthy living requires self-discipline. And the Bible promotes that idea. Discipline is a Christian virtue that should not be dismissed in anything and shouldn't be done lightly. Self-control, we're all familiar. Galatians 5. Self-control is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And elsewhere, the Apostle Paul calls on the discipline to talk about discipline ourselves, not just spiritually, but physically as well. He used the metaphor of the athlete that we are called to fix our mind on the goal and the ultimate purpose and the prize that we are aiming for and drain towards that goal. And he said, we must exercise self-control in all things and not to run aimlessly and not even think about what are we aiming for. And to accomplish this, we must do as Paul who said, but I discipline myself and keep it under control. It can be difficult, but the writer Hebrew encouraged us to endure in hardship as discipline because God is doing it out of love when he treats us. It's important to remember that we're not in this race alone. When we discipline, we're not alone. I said earlier on, I have come some MPA or MBC, however you like, in a church. Two people, there's a few, but I just want to name two that expressed love to me. In the beginning, it was tough and hard, and I kind of wonder, why am I around these two people? My spiritual doctor, Dr. Phil, who's not here, he would come and stand in the morning and stand right in my face and ask me that question. Are you healthy? Are you looking after yourself? Are you eating well? And even to a point, he'd say, get a crutch. And why are you still walking like that? Are you eating well? Are you resting up? He asked those questions in front, and slowly, I start to realize that someone's caring enough to show me how much they love, because they see something important to me that I don't see. They see someone who's wanting to honor God and do it well in everything else, but not look after his body. He's my good friend now. Another fellow staff, she will come in when she comes to the office. Pastor Noge, are you going to break for lunch? And you should see the guilt on my face. She even say, did you bring your lunch? 85% of the time, both no. I get up in the morning, go to the pool, don't eat breakfast. My family encouraged me. I come with no lunch. And you should see the guilt on my face. Thank you, Carly. We need to do this together. Church, God created a community, a family, to be able to share and encourage each other out of love. My guilt, my shame, it's all gone. I appreciate people. I don't know why they go there. Now, third point is that it's important as we discipline, turn ownership to the stewardship. Our health is a matter of productivity. We've got to be productive. Here at Werribee Baptist Church, our vision is to multiply hope. I'm sniffing a lot. I have a tissue, thank you. This is what happens when you cry, baby. Multiply hope and expanded God's kingdom. This is my MPC as well. She would come and make sure my collar every morning, make sure my collar and everything is tidy. Thank you. Multiply hope. But it takes a healthy community. It takes a healthy church to achieve that vision. We can't just put a vision and know that it's composed of an unhealthy, okay, just don't, I don't want you to think that I'm going too deep, that anything that's offensive to all of us, but you know where I'm going. It's even more productive that we invest in trying to reach that goal of being multiplied by knowing that our body is a part of that vision. To be able to multiply hope, we need a healthier church, a healthier family, a healthier individual. More importantly, come back to the focus, a healthy body. And it's got a role that is significant for us. You know what? It doesn't mean, I want to say it's important, it doesn't mean that an unhealthy body is not able to be productive or not productive at all. You know, I do sit down, number time when we all stand, My heart say to stand, but my knees say sit down. And I feel will probably tell me to sit down. You know, it does restrict it in my ability to care for people. I love to go and visit a hospital, but it does restrict me. There are certain things, my care of my family, my care for other people is restricted and limited. But to tell you this, again, accidents and anything hereditary, that if you want to go down that way, I'll park it to the side. When I come to that point, I recognize the life that I have now is because I admitted to you that I made some terrible mistakes, that I made wrong choices, that I made unhelpful way of living that it shouldn't be. And I admit that. But it's important to be able to realize the body does play a significant part. Not only it's housing the spirit, but it's about honoring God. Last night we were at graduation dinner. And it was hard to fall into temptation. You know, 1.4 of those Tomahawk. Oh, medium rare. It was about that big. Oh my goodness, I was thinking my sermon and then I skipped my sermon and let's just focus on this. Then I walk out. It was so beautiful and lovely. Caring for our bodies is not only an act of self-care, it's a commitment to call of service. The healthier we are, the more equipped we are to serve others with the vitality and strength that echoes the ministry of Jesus and his disciple. When we do that, our worship life and when we serve others will be a lot more productive. Our witness and our mission life will be more effective. Our working life and family life will be more healthier. Our relationship. In the end, our health is a gift from God so that we can also be a blessing to others. You know, our charge from Ephesians 5, 15 to 16 is to live productively. He said, be careful then how you should live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That is the culture that we live. The temptation is all around us. One way to be productive with the little time that we have is like a master craftsman caring for the most important tool in our productivity, arsenal, which is our bodies. Serve others with vitality and strength. It's a call. We are all called to serve. To show God's love to others in practical, tangible ways. It might be volunteering in your community, offering help to a struggling neighbor, being a source of support for a friend. But when the bodies are healthy, we can do these things with more energy and more endurance. I want to bring this to a conclusion. We dug deep into scriptures, uncovering how our bodies are indeed the temples of the Holy Spirit. We discuss how maintaining our health is a way to honor God, reflecting his image, and how it is our duty to take good care of his creation, our bodies. We've seen how practical self-discipline leads to a spiritual growth. We'll also discover the wisdom in preventative care, avoiding anything that harmed the body of Christ. And I might say, accident happened. I'm not talking about accident. I'm not talking about something that might be hereditary if you argue that way. I'm talking about the choices that we make when we know it's going to harm his body. Seeking freedom from the idolatry of food and relationship and whatever it is, and turning away from it. Each of these topics highlights a different facet of the same truth that taking care of our health is a spiritual matter, an act of worship, and a way of living our faith in God. But what does it mean for us going forward? Here's my suggestion. When going forward, start small. Start small. As we integrate our faith and health into our lives, daily lives, I encourage you again, start small, because small changes often lead to a significant result. And I stand here before you and declare that I am going to make the steps. But I start with something small that I want my church holding me accountable to it. Maybe it's about choosing to replace unhealthy food in your diet with a healthier alternative. Maybe it's about making time for prayer and rest to support your mental health. Maybe it's deciding to take a walk a few times a week. I spoke to Graham Rocher this week. He said, I walk every morning with my wife in the Point Cook area. And if you are someone who's able to pick up something that you say, I do it for me, but I want to do it for my family, my church family, please let me know. I'm hoping to create a page where if anyone wants to be able to engage and do some preventative care worship. Whether it's the walking, Graham said, anyone want to walk in the morning? Let me know. Maybe it's just something simple. He called it Jog for Jesus. We just come up with that idea. Jog for Jesus. Why don't come and jog with Jesus? You know, the road to Damascus. Those kind of thing. Maybe you could join me on my Saturday. Wow. I go most day of the week, 5:30, 6 o'clock. But hey, Saturday, they open at 7 o'clock so you can relax. It's not that early. I call it a walking on water. We walk on water. We don't just go to that. There's little kids, so we go to the bigger pool. So you might think that that's all we do. It's just to go, there's a little kid's pool and play in the very shallow water. No, we go hard and we go deep. But I met a few people there. Maybe come and join me. It's free membership. Unfortunately, you have to pay the Equipulse. But to join the well, it's free membership. There's no setup or cleanup. There's no booking required. You just turn up and join the well. We go from 7 to 8 and we come and sit down and spend some time talking about our health. It's not a Bible study. It's not a talk about the football. Just keep each other accountable. If you want to come and join me and Ann Cole, I know there's a few others. Vera and Zeno and others, come and join. If you'd like to be a part of a group that's to sit down and talk about health, I'm looking to create some. If you want a part, let me know, because we just get down and delve deep and hold each other accountable. You know what? It's not for us to be alone. It is hard when you do it on your own. I have two MPA. Mary Preventative Care people in this church. There's a few, but I want to name two. At first, I thought I didn't want to round these people. But over time, I realized how they use the MPA for the sake of honoring God. And sorry if I mention your name. First is my spiritual doctor, Dr. Phil. He would come. And look me in the face. And tell me straight in my face. Are you looking after yourself? Are you taking rest? He even checked with my wife. And he continued to do it. Thank you. I need MPA in my life. Carly, one of our staff, she would come in my office when she's in the office, when it's 12:30 to 1. Are you stop for lunch? Did you bring lunch? 90% of the time, my answer is no. I don't eat in the morning. She keep telling me it's not right. Make sure you bring lunch. I don't think Carl is here, but I love these people because they speak out of love. It's not to make me feel guilty. Hold accountable. Church, when we do it together as a church, there's power, there is strength. When we encourage one another in love, then we're going to experience breakthrough. You know, breakthrough is not just about healthy eating and exercise, being faithful in a relationship, but it's about our emotional health. It's about our spiritual health. And I leave the experts to cover that in the next 2 weeks. Would you stand and pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for your word that challenges and encourages us, but also reminded us where we turn our eyes and our attention away from the truth. Lord, we never thought that our bodies are the temple of God. What a privilege that is. And yet we keep abusing the house of the Holy Spirit because of our selfish gratification, our self-satisfaction. We humble before you and admit, Lord, where we fail, where we fall short, where we forgot to relearn. We pray, God, that we may walk away being challenged and encouraged. What is that one step that we need to take to start to see breakthrough? And that one little thing will turn into something incredibly significant because the Holy Spirit comes alive. And the body that shelters, the body that protects, the body that serves, where the Holy Spirit wants to move. So that people will know that we worship you with our bodies, not just our money. Everything will be true for your glory. So loving God, here we are. Build our life. We've been singing. We build our life in you and let you be the foundation. Our life is for you. We live for you, Lord. Help us to keep that in mind. Look through that lens as we reevaluate our health. And it's all about you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.